Hey, hey.
Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got next. Got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next.
What's going on, man? Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to the Who Got Next podcast. This is your host, E-Dub. Sorry for the wait. Sorry. But we are going to go ahead and try to get this volume done, man. What I wanted to do is I wanted to bring in a previous guest. Every blue moon, I bring on a prior guest just to kind of talk about, you know, how things are now. Back in July of last year, I had the opportunity to sit down with a brother, my homie Corey, man. Corey is of Daily Special Charlotte, and I was just getting a chance to get to know him, you know, getting to know him then. It's been a year, and his brother's making some moves out here in Charlotte, man. So, you know, we just want to sit down and talk to him about, you know, what's going on with him now, man. What's going on, Corey?
Yo, so what's up, y'all? So, yeah, I am Corey, aka Daily Special CLT, aka Black Guys Cook, aka Eat Black Charlotte, aka I'll ruin your diet. I'm happy to be here.
See, you done put, had a whole bunch of other AKAs in there. When I was just talking to you, it was just Daily Special Charlotte, you know. So now, well, Daily Special COT, number one, congratulations on the success on all of that, man. How does it, before I get started with that, how has the pandemic treated you? I know last year when we talked, we was knee deep in it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Now the outside opened up a little bit. So how has the adjustment been for you?
During the pandemic, it was definitely a big adjustment because I went from, you know, being out in the community in restaurants pretty much every night of the week to, you know, sitting at home. So kind of trying to figure out ways to still, you know, help these restaurants through what was an extremely tough time for them as well, because a lot of them couldn't even be open. And if they were open, right, could only have, you know, a couple of people in there. So obviously they ain't making no money. So, you know, kind of pivoting is what the big word was for me, was figuring out a way to pivot, which we did. And then, you know, things kind of went for the better, and then stuff started opening back up, and, you know, everybody say outside's open. So once that happened, I was able to get back into kind of the swing of things, and also, you know, take a lot of the things that I learned during the pandemic and apply them to, you know, the current times, which was great as well. So, yeah, this year has been pretty big. We had a lot of growth, done a lot of things this year. So, yeah, we keeping them pushing.
Right. Like you said, a lot of restaurants were closed, but a lot of them had a chance to still, you know, be able to survive with takeout and stuff like that. But, you know, there were some areas that just never closed, like, at, you know, at all. I want to say South End was booming the whole time. I don't think they ever saw any part of shutting down or losing businesses within that time frame. Of course, you know, South End has changed a whole lot. So a lot of the staples that was there back in the day are not are not there no more. So do you think? I know you said things been booming, you know, within the Charlotte community, but has it been booming for you? So, like, I know you said you was in the pandemic. So did you take a lot of what you learned at that time and you was able to apply it to? And you saw an extreme amount of positivity from it?
Yeah, so for the people that may have missed the previous episode, what I do is I run Daily Special COT, which is kind of like a food blog. So I go around Charlotte and put on places that I like and do post on Instagram, TikTok, you know, all of the things that people intake now as far as content. And try to help out the restaurants, the places that I like, and a lot of places that people don't necessarily see all the time from traditional Charlotte media. So doing that during the pandemic was a bit tough. Like I say, a lot of the restaurants that are in like South End and stuff, or the more walkable neighborhoods, were okay. Just because, you know, they still have apartments around them, people can still pop in, get takeout. But a lot of the places that were in, you know, more not so nice locations were struggling just because, you know, people have to drive there. People weren't even trying to leave their houses or their neighborhoods, really. Then there was curfews in place, and it was just a whole mess. You know, I kind of tried to work with them and get them, you know, set up for doing takeout. And then, you know, optimizing the use of social media to market and push out their product to people and get people to see it. So, you know, from that, a lot of them were able to, you know, continue that after when things were open. So now they're seeing a lot of success and, you know, getting more used to working with, like, bloggers and influencers and media in Charlotte and realizing that that is a necessity now. Because before, you know, a lot of them were just kind of getting by.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, no, you reach out to them. They're like, oh, no, we're good, we're solid. But then once they didn't have any business, they're like reaching out, like, how can we, you know, market? How can we do this thing? So that was a positive. More of them now see that that is a necessity and, you know, are more open to working with people like me.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Give me your honest opinion. How do you feel about the word influencer?
So for the longest, I did not like it.
I'm gonna ask you for it.
Yeah, yeah. I did not like it at all. And it does have a negative connotation. Because when you think of influencer, you think of, you know, a certain type of person that's just basically
socialite.
Right.
And not just in some cases. I think a lot of times people look at that as,
right,
you know, you're looking across the board as a socialite.
Right, right. And somebody that is not really trying to do anything positive. They're just trying to promote themselves. But for what we do, there isn't necessarily a better term for it either. So people, I kind of pushed back on the term for the longest, up until probably a few months ago, to be honest with you.
I still push back on it.
Yeah.
The reason why I still push back on it, because I just hate the term.
Right.
You know,
right.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And I'm still reluctant to it, you know, but I think what works out for me is that I'm still low key.
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm out, but I'm low key. So the only time when you really see me post my stuff is when it's time to, you know, put something out.
Right.
But I think sometimes with the influence market, like I said, it does have a negative connotation to it at times. But what I will say for you is, and this is my personal opinion, you know, people value your opinion. I think you worked yourself into a position to where your stamp of approval matters. You know, right. I think, and I just want to give you that. Just,
I appreciate
it. Just give you those props, because just keep it a buck. You know, your lane is not rare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people do it.
Right, right.
But the question is, can you do it great? You know, so I think everybody, nothing is original. Everything is repurposed.
Right, right.
And it's just about how you make those moves. And I value what you do, because you are the IG that I go to, you know. And I just think that, and I made sure to tell people, look, man, stop asking me what's the best chicken wing, what's the best cupcake. Bruh, just go to Daily Special Charlotte and just scroll through the page. Period. Stop asking me, because I like what I like. You know what I'm saying? I think I get out enough to, you know. But I don't consider myself a quote-unquote foodie, but I do love to go to restaurants and just try different, you know, just try different food. But for me personally, it's just exhausting to right. always try to figure out. So I commend the likers of you, Yelp Elite. I commend you all, because y'all are steady posting. I'm like, bro, I can't do it. Like,
yeah, it definitely is a lot. And, you know, with the term influencer, what I realize is the people who call themselves influencers often are the people that give it the bad note, the bad kind of connotation. But when the audience starts calling you an influencer, then that made it harder for me to, you know, push back, because I'll be out. Oh, you're the food influencer. Or you're this influencer.
I know you'd be cringing.
Right. So when I guess you can't decide what your audience decides you are. If they give you that term because they appreciate you for that, then I guess you just have to kind of get used to it. So you won't ever hear me really call myself an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time you'll hear me refer to myself as a food content creator, because that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
not even necessarily a food critic. A lot of people call me a food critic or a food reviewer. I wouldn't even say I'm that because I don't post negative reviews. So, right. And not because I don't want to post negative reviews. I just don't have the time. If I go to a place and...
Why waste your time giving something negative when you could be focusing on ones that you personally feel has great business, customer service, and great food at that matter.
Exactly. Because what people don't typically realize is one of my posts may take 10 to 15 hours to do for one post.
Wow.
So I'm not going to do that for a place that I didn't like. That doesn't make logical sense. So that's why I don't really consider myself necessarily a food reviewer or a food critic, because to be a food critic, you have to also post, you know, negative spots too. And I just don't have the time currently.
Now, let me ask you a question, because I know last time we had talked, I think your first introduction to all of that outside of your just love for food was Yelp.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with Yelp, do you take the opportunity to give that type of review or, you know, based on your personal experience? Like, do you give, like, I don't know about this one, the food just wasn't blase or anything like that? Do you do it there versus your own shit?
Yep. So, yeah, I will, I need to do better about using Yelp still, because I do think Yelp is very useful. But yeah, that's where I would actually post, you know, a 2-star or 1-star review there, because, you know, I can write that review up in, you know, 10 minutes versus 10 hours of doing a post. So, that's where you would find that is more so on my Yelp page.
Okay. Last time we had talked, we had a real big conversation about going back to value. And, you know, at the time you were, I think when you and I had, like, I mean, we was talking, I think when I first got introduced to you, you know, you were just getting started. So, you know, your page wasn't really big.
Right.
You know, it was just more so what you wanted to do. But I think by the time we had talked, you was up to like, your followers up, there's probably like around 10,000 or something like that. So now it's gotten even more since that, you know, since the time frame. How do these restaurants view you now? Because I remember the last time we had a discussion, you know, it was about, you know, you knew what you wanted to do. You know, you felt you had a good, you know, you felt you had a good, I want to say good eye, but your taste buds was great.
Right.
You know, no, pause. But, you know, it was great to, you know, say, all right, I think this place is good. Let me go ahead and put that out there. And I think a lot of times when we were talking about restaurants, I don't think they value that portion of it because they felt that they can do it themselves.
Right.
You know, some of y'all don't know, but me and Corey, we have a conversation sometimes every blue moon. I hit them up about, you know, a certain restaurant or something like that. And we'll have those conversations about. So it's just all about the value. How do you think they value? How do you think these restaurants value you now?
Oh, so that has completely changed. That's a full 180. I think back then, which was a little over a year ago when we talked last, I was probably right around 10,000 followers on Instagram, and that was my main platform.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm around double that on Instagram, and then really the big thing is TikTok, because on TikTok I have over 70,000 followers on there now.
Mm-hmm.
So TikTok is really what has been completely blowing places up in Charlotte now. And because of that, a lot of the restaurants now reach out to me. Ones that before were like, oh, nah, we good. They're now like, oh, hey, can you stop by?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the petty part of me is like, I'll get there.
When I'm ready to get there.
Right, right. But, yeah, all of the ones that, you know, supported me, you know, from day one, they can get whatever they want. That's just the type of person I am. But, yeah, so now a lot of restaurants, I really don't reach out to restaurants that often anymore. Either I'm going there just because I want to go, or the restaurants will reach out to me and want me to come in just because of, you know, they see what happens when I post a place, and they'll see, you know, the lines and see the economic impact of what happens after a visit. So, yeah, now it's been a big change, and now I'm mostly happy because I can go post to places, you know, that don't get a lot of shine and that people haven't heard of, and now, you know, kind of put the spotlight on them, because a lot of those spots, they've been doing it forever. They actually put love into food. It's not just not just a money making mechanism. It's they actually like doing what they do and like feeding people and like the community. So that's what's important to me now. So seeing those places, you know, shine and people really loving and just supporting those spots is why I'm doing this now.
Let's put the light on a specific person I feel that's putting love in the food. I haven't had their food yet. You and I talked about it. I want it. Is it Moe's?
Moe's.
So I saw your post yesterday. I think it was yesterday where the line was wrapped in that strip area was wrapped around the whole area. And the reason why I want to bring that up because I called you last time when I had saw you post them. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, shit, I pass by them every day. And you wouldn't see that many people out there. I mean, you'll see like a good 5 or 10, just depending on it.
Right. Okay, so you're talking about.
That's not Moe.
Yeah.
What's my man? What's his name?
So.
Off of Graham Street.
Off of Graham Street is the Premier Chef. And I just posted him.
Okay.
2 days ago.
My apologies. Yes,
the Premier Chef. And the other spot you're talking about I love, too, is Mojo's Hot Dogs.
Right.
Yeah, that's off of Statesville. And both of those spots are two of my favorite people in Charlotte. They both do a lot in the community and don't ever ask for any shine or anything for it. They just do it. So people in those communities know them for that.
Okay, so how many times have you posted Premier Chef?
Twice now.
Okay, so the first time you had – okay, so it wasn't – so the first time you had posted them, we had talked and – we had talked the second day pretty much when I drove by and I had hit you up and called you. I was like, look, bro, your man gonna thank you. Because I said, he had that line. Like people was waiting, like they was parking all over the place just to get to him. So how does that feel knowing that, you know, your influence, you know, really put some money in his brother's pocket.
Yeah, so I can talk about that for a second because, you know, I just did the second post for him 2 days ago now. Mm-hmm.
It was ridiculous yesterday.
Thing. Right, right. So same type of deal. So it's great because for him specifically, he does a lot in the community. So he's not just, you know, about making money. He's kind of become like a pillar in that area. So it feels good to be able to put those type of spots on because, you know, since then, you know, he's been on the news, like, and he's having people fly in from like Detroit, it's like crazy. All over. So not only is it local to Charlotte, it's also bringing Charlotte's food scene national recognition. Mm-hmm. And all of that is primarily through TikTok. TikTok pushes out those videos and they'll push it out everywhere, and people will travel for food. People will travel for all over. And the good thing about the Premier Chef and a lot of the places that I post, even yesterday, we figured the post would probably go viral again because he's good at what he does. I'm getting pretty good at, you know, videos and knowing how to get people to – how to read people and figure out how to get them to go to places and what to do in the video and to catch people's attention and such. Mm-hmm. So he also had others out there. So it wasn't just him. He also had a dessert vendor out there. He also had, you know, a CBD vendor out there. There was also a Snow Your Roll food truck out there. So he
getting smart with it. He's starting to understand, like you said, he's appealing the community. So he's not looking at just him. And the reason why I said it because last week I actually tried Snow Your Roll.
Mm-hmm.
And Snow Your Roll is really not too far. So it wasn't, he had his joint going on and she had her, you know, she had her thing. Mm-hmm. She had her thing going on as, you know, as well with that. So it just looks like to me what he's doing, he's not trying to hog.
Exactly. So even when I was there, he's like, hey, come over to Snow Your Roll. Let's talk to them, get you a snow cone, like that type of vibe.
And she mad cool too.
Right, right.
The hibachi chicken fried rice egg roll, boy.
Oh, yeah, it was like that?
Oh, God. Yeah, she, I guess she scaled down. Mm-hmm. She had a lot of them, but she had mentioned, she said, man, I went with my top five.
Right.
And that's what I had, but by the time I got out there, she was sold out of everything else. So I said, man, I'm here. Let me get that hibachi. Man, that thing was good. I want to go get that again.
Right.
Yeah, but I would love to try the other stuff that she has.
Yeah, her snow cone was phenomenal. Like, it was amazing, so. I will be going back again. But, you know, because – so I did the post for him, but the residuals from that was able to boost also three other businesses that were out there. So
sharing the wealth, man.
Right. So even, you know, if he's out, he's like, yo, go check out, you know, Snow Your Road, buy some desserts, you know, buy some CBD or whatever. So building that whole community, you know, and kind of, you know, putting money back into our community, if you know what I mean. Because a lot of times, you know, we're always seeing other restaurants and other popular places. But we just don't see our places, so a lot of times we don't know where to spend our money. So this gives people, you know, different avenues. So if you want a good barbecue spot, or if you is hot or cold and you like snow cones or egg rolls, you can pop up over there. Like,
and I think that also boils down to marketing. We had that discussion about the difference in marketing. You know, the difference in how Black-owned businesses, restaurants market their product versus how we see others with small businesses market theirs. Unfortunately, money does play a big difference in that. Right. We don't have to go into that conversation. We kind of we know why. You know, we know why. But I think on the other hand, with the restaurants that we love and we want to support, which is our people, you know, I think a lot of times, I'm not speaking on all of them, you know, I think a lot of times they run – you know, they run into a situation where they think word of mouth is going to help them. And that's necessarily not, you know, that's necessarily not the case, man. You know, you're competing against a lot of other restaurants and things like that. So you have to do better in those spaces. And I think where you come in at with the social media aspect, because a lot of times, man, with some of these businesses that we have, they're probably a little bit older at times, you know, probably been around. And it's just not that, you know, it's just not that thing. Like, if you've been around a long time, like Mr. Charles, and stuff like that, could they use the social media? Yeah, they could. They don't really need to, because they're going to get the business regardless, you know what I'm saying? So what do you think is some of the major components that some of these, you know, Black-owned businesses need to adjust to in this day and age with, you know, getting their businesses out there?
Yes, the first thing and the biggest thing, I think, is just education. So we did with, I'm a part of Eat Black Charlotte as well. So we threw a restaurant week and a black food truck festival at the end of that week last June, which was a great experience. But what we wanted to do, because we were like, well, we can obviously boost these restaurants, you know, for the week, because they'll have specials and we'll be promoting them and such. But after that week, we don't want them to just go back to how it was normally. So our goal was to actually kind of help educate. So we, during the week, the restaurants that signed up also got workshops on how to do social media, how to set up your Google so you can do your address and stuff on there, how to set up your Yelp page, like all of this stuff, how to go from a food truck to a brick and mortar, like all of these different workshops, you know, to kind of actually help them, you know, push forward and not just be stagnant. Because a lot of times, if we have a place that's, you know, doing okay, they're good with that, they're comfortable, they're not trying to grow or expand. Once they're like, because, you know, before I would reach out to a lot of places and, you know, either they just wouldn't respond, or I would try to explain to them, you know, let's grow this thing, let's, you know, put you out there. And, you know, some of them may not want that. But a lot of them more so just think, okay, I don't really need that. So we're trying to educate them more and give them a mindset shift. Because the way I see it, and the big thing and the reason why we do Eat Black Charlotte and why I post a lot of the places I do is to, you know, expand our community, because we have a pretty large black community in Charlotte, but we don't have a lot of black restaurants. We have a lot of black food trucks.
Right.
We have a lot of black pop-up shops. But, you know, if you want to go sit down and eat in a black restaurant, there's not that many options. So we're trying to, you know, add a bigger variety of places. And then, you know, as we do that and as places become more and more known, then more and more places will say, oh, I can do that. I can do this type of restaurant. It doesn't have to just be you know, fried chicken. It could be, you know, whatever. And then we kind of expand and expand our palates and support, you know, different places.
What do you think? What do you enjoy more? Do you enjoy the discovery of a food truck, or do you discover or the discovery of a brick and mortar?
It depends. I like having both options. I would, the convenience of having a brick and mortar is important, I think, just because that's a stable location that you can go all the time. Hunting down food trucks can be difficult, just based on the area.
It's fun as fuck at times too.
Yeah,
it like the hunt is fun.
Yeah,
until you're hungry.
Yeah, right. So I like the both approach. Like What the Fries now has both.
Right,
they have the brick and mortar location and they have the food truck. So it's pretty cool. But right now in Charlotte, I think the best food is coming out of the food trucks. To be honest with you,
I agree.
So right now in Charlotte, while I would like for them to be brick and mortar locations, I am mostly eating at food trucks and like those small, you know, pop up shops. I'm here on Saturday through Sunday, those type of spots. But so hopefully we get I do hope those places continue because I love those places too.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want to, you know, have a variety of things and places for people to do.
And I think, like you said, it like we kind of talked about, it boils down to money, you know. And people having to get started. I remember, I don't think he mind me saying it. When he first popped up, it was crazy. I was like, all right, you know, I'm gonna try them out. And I reached out to him. I had to reach out to him through Instagram. He said, "What you want?" I told him. He said, "All right, cool." He said, "I'll shoot you the address." I was like, "All right." So he showed me the address. And I went driving over there. I'm looking for a food truck.
Right.
This is at that time. I'm looking for a food truck. I'm in his neighborhood. I'm like, man, where am I at? He comes right around. He said, "You out there?" I said, "Yeah." I was in his apartment complex. He comes right around the corner. Comes right around the corner, man. Show me the food and stuff like that. It looked good as hell.
Right.
I said, "Fuck it, I'm gonna eat it." You know what I'm saying? But I was like, "I thought you had a food truck." He was like, "Nah, man. So I'm trying to get there, man." He said, "But it just goes to show you what people are willing to do to get what they have, you know, to get where they're going." Now, as a black person, we know how this works, you know. So we're going to put a lot of trust. Like, hey, this food look good. Right. We're going to see what pops off or whatever. If it ain't going whack, cool. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you got the health and all the other stuff. So I was like, I tried it. Shit was great. But I probably like 3 or 4 months later, he finally had his food truck. Mm-hmm. And now he goes back and forth between, you know, Raleigh, Greensboro, and Charlotte and things like that. And he'd be on the news and stuff like that. But it just goes to show what he was willing to put in. And again, food trucks, the overhead is just real low compared to brick and mortars. On top of that, we talked about it just right before we got on. Charlotte is just booming and shit is just high.
Yeah.
So it makes it a little bit difficult for, you know, for small businesses to go in there and get a restaurant. And I just think that's the fucked up part about it, because we're not giving these people the opportunities because your rent too damn high.
Yeah.
So what are they supposed to do?
Yep. If you don't already have some type of backing or, you know, if you're not well-known or have investors, then you're basically out of luck on starting your own brick and mortar. So, yeah, we often have to go through way more hoops. If you see somebody with a brick and mortar, they usually have been trying to do that for years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of times we
have to start. And we are just speaking about black people.
Yes. Yes, in general. So, It definitely is a lot more work, and a lot of times, you know, that's why you'll see us having mostly food trucks and or doing pop ups, just because, you know, we can't necessarily get that backing as easily, and you know, hopefully we start seeing more and more spot, because yeah, we definitely need a variety of things. I think Leah and Louise is a great example of, you know, variety. The restaurant's really good. He just had Bay Haven Festival, which was
I heard that was pretty dope. I didn't get a chance. I wasn't in town. I wish I could have been.
It was definitely an amazing experience. He brought in, you know, black chefs from all over, and it was a 3-day Friday, Saturday, and Sunday festival, just celebrating, you know, black food in general. And it was here in Charlotte. over at Camp North End. So, you know, kind of just as we're finally, you know, getting more people into these positions now, we can, you know, put on other people. And even in like the food blog community, foodies here, I probably said in the last one that there wasn't that many food bloggers, you know, when I started this. So that was one of the reasons I ended up doing this, was because I didn't see anybody that looked like me. So because of that, a lot of the media coverage and a lot of the food bloggers cover the same things over and over and over, which doesn't speak to where I eat. So I, you know, myself was like, well, I'll do it. Instead of just complaining about it like a lot of people do. I'm like, well, I'm going to actually do something about it. So that's kind of how I started. And now that I finally, you know, have grown to a point where, you know, I kind of know how Instagram, social media, all of this stuff works. Most of the time when you see me, you'll see another food blogger with me, another black food blogger, or somebody who is trying to, you know, start their page. Mm-hmm. Just so, because when I started it, I didn't have, you know, anybody to really kind of show me the ropes or anything. You know, everybody's trying to, you know, hide their trade secrets or whatever.
Right.
Me, I'm the opposite. I'm trying to, you know, get as many of us, and by us, I mean, you know, black and minority people into this kind of food scene here, to kind of, you know, so it's not only me, but, you know, we got all type. You often see, it's easy for people moving to the city or people in the city that are black or, you know, a minority, to find people that look like them so they can relate to them and figure out where to go eat.
Right.
So a lot of times I'm bringing, you know, other black food bloggers with me, just give them that experience so they can ask me questions and, you know, help them out, to blow them up as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about building the entire community.
And that makes perfect sense, because like you said, that's what happens a lot of times, you know. Why hold the secrets?
Right.
And that's what I was telling you, like, if somebody hit me up about a podcast, I don't have a problem telling you. I mean, it's not a secret.
Right.
This is what you could do, how you can do it. First of all, I'm not a pro. You know, I'm not a pro. I'm not. I just love what I do, and I'm also a student. So I don't have no problem asking other people questions, you know. You know, but you have your, you know, you have the ones that you feel that may be consistent and is really going to push it, you know, push it forward. So those are the ones that I try to gravitate towards, you know. And I think you probably feel the same way when it comes to bloggers, you know, bloggers from a certain extent, because what you do isn't probably what they're going to do. You know, you thrive off of video, you thrive off of video content and photography and giving that look versus somebody who just want to just write. You know, and some people enjoy the writing aspect of it. I want to see it.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see it. So I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, wrong with that. But I will agree with you. You know, when the blog term, you know, started coming about, it was just more so about lifestyle and things like that. But people really wasn't touching on food the way we wanted to. You know, the way we wanted to read it. You know.
Exactly.
Or, you know, looking on a food network, and that was a way of doing it. But to me, that's theatrics. You know, that's theatrics. And that person could be lying through the skin of his teeth. He probably might not even like that food. You know what I'm saying? So how do you know they're going to be honest about it?
Yeah.
So that's how I see it. I don't want to put I don't want to put people on the spot, but let's put them on the spot. I'm not going to throw you off like that. Like, who are your top three food trucks? Who are your top three brick and mortars?
Ooh. So, I would say food trucks is tough because we have a ton of them that are good. I would definitely put the Premier Chef up there. He does barbecue. So, you got fall off the bone, turkey legs, beef and pork ribs, chicken, all of that, all the sides. Where else? I do love, let's see, Mojo's Hot Dogs is like my little go-to spot if I just want something quick, pop in.
You post them a lot.
Yeah, I posted him.
I posted him
several times.
So you like him. That's two.
And then for dessert, and I'll just keep these all recent places that I posted.
Mm-hmm.
For dessert, Nadine's, and hers isn't even a food truck. It's more like a stall. She's only open on Sundays, and she has the best funnel cakes that you ever eat. The one I had was a double funnel cake top with red velvet cake, cheesecake, and strawberry sauce. All on a, you're gonna be asleep after one of her funnel cake. Wow. So yeah, that's Nadine. She's right up North Tryon on Sundays by the, I think it's the Advanced Auto Parts. But and then the brick and mortar, Lee and Louise, like I mentioned earlier, really mm-hmm. nice spot. Definitely What the Fries. That's one of my just favorite spots in right. general. And they now have a brick and mortar down in Pineville.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, for the third one, I would say, probably, I went to the Chef's Kitchen. It's down in Carolina Place Mall. And he just opened
that's the one going towards the entrance between where Sears used to be at, like going through that way.
Yep. Chef's Kitchen was solid. It's a nice sit-down restaurant. It is.
I give it to him because I worked part-time in that mall for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they could not keep nobody in that spot.
Right.
So when I saw Chef's Kitchen, I haven't eaten it yet. I was surprised.
Yeah, it's more of a kind of an upscale type of vibe. So, mm-hmm. Kind of dimly lit. Good, like, date night spot.
Mm-hmm.
But the food was solid. He's only been there for maybe a month or so now. But, yeah, the food was definitely solid.
I wish him luck on that. Because, like I said, man, that mall be funny, you know?
Yeah.
So, that'd be the big part about it. When you're trying to build something up and they want to raise your rent.
Right.
You know, things like that, man. So, I hope they get around that.
Yeah, I also want to say Genya Ramen Bar. It's a franchise. That the location here is uptown, really nice. It's a ramen bar, and that is black owned as well. I know some people are like, well, the entire franchise isn't black owned, so some people get a little iffy about that. But the specific location here in Charlotte
is
black woman owned, which is a really nice spot. And then
you try to fry Brussels sprouts.
No, I wanted to. I got to go back.
It was straight. Yeah. I went there 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
I went there and tried it out. I'll be honest with you, I like ramen.
Right.
But I can't pinpoint. It's kind of like sushi. I'm not a big sushi guy.
Right, right.
But I know what I want. I know what will be my fancy.
Right.
So that was the same thing with ramen. So I think I had tried, I asked them, like, what's your popular? They gave me the popular. I said, all right, let me get that.
Right.
Might take the seaweed out, put spinach in.
Right.
And we good. But I actually enjoyed it. But like I said, the fried Brussels sprouts I thought was personally good because I had never seen it fried, nor have I had it fried.
Right.
And it was decent. Like I said, it was good, but it's not something I would make at home.
Right, right.
I'm
going
to stick to what I know at home. I'm going to steam it. Roasted, yep. Air fried. That's what I'm going to do. But
yeah, I love Asian cuisine in general. So I'm okay. always, finding Japanese mm-hmm. or Chinese or Korean or even Indian or Filipino. Like, yeah. So
I got to get into the Indian food. I'm still a little bit nervous about that.
It's good. They got a lot of flavors. Just start with the more common items like chicken tikka masala or, get some samosas. And I will say
some naan.
Yeah, get the bread. And I will say their food is very flavorful. So
you went to Copper?
I haven't been to Copper.
Oh, yeah. That was like the only reason I know. There's two spots that I'm fully aware of, which is Copper off of East Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot the other one's name, but it's off of King's Drive.
Okay.
Right across the street from the park. And I know those two places because when I used to get my hustle on, I used to drive.
Right.
Do the food delivery thing. So those are the spots that people kept, pulling up for those two spots. But they stay packed.
Right.
Like that restaurant, Copper Coop, I think it's Copper.
Yeah. Right, it is.
A copper. Okay, yeah, they have a nice, I think it's more of an intimate setting. Intimate setting for a date. I would say that's a great date night spot. And then the other spot, family. I think it's a little bit more family oriented, but I think if you want to take a nice young lady out, you go out to Copper. You know, go out to Copper because it kind of sets that scene.
Right, yeah.
But the food, look, I mean, every time I walk in there, you know what I'm saying? Like, they got a bar area, you go in there, watch the game and stuff like that. So they're pretty friendly, but it looks like a house, you know, like, right, yeah, like a house, yeah, that they just gut it out. But they've been there for years. I don't think they, you know, I don't think they're going to well.
I have to try that out.
I'm going to check it out, man.
Yeah. Then I know you said three, but I keep thinking of more spaces, more places. So Ronaldo's over there on the west side. So he has.
Little bro.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah. Ronaldo's. I can't forget just. Forget to at least mention Ronaldo's, even though he's like in between, right? Because he has a takeout spot, so it is a brick and mortar location, you know, but you can't eat inside of there,
right?
But the food, fire.
Yeah, and let me say something about that spot too. What I like about it's not just him. I love his food, but what I like about that particular area, it's like probably four.
Mm-hmm.
It's like four all rolled in one. So if you don't want to go there, you could go get your wings,
right?
I don't know the name of that spot. You get your wings from there. If you want some vegan food, you get some vegan food. You want some tacos, you can walk into that door and get tacos. So that area, I think, is about to make some changes, too. That was considered more of the hood area.
It's still hood.
Yeah, it's still hood, but I think with those type of restaurants and how they built, honestly, this is what I think. I personally feel that maybe other businesses might want to do this. Like, I think stop focusing on just yours. But if you could say, all right, look, this is what I do. I know this is what you do. And this is what you do. Just do what they did.
Right.
Because they just all went in there. I don't know if that was by design or not. But that was a great idea.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So how that whole thing came about is that area is what's called a food desert. So, mm-hmm. which a lot of times what people consider the hood are food deserts. So people don't have easy access
we're going to go there.
Right. There's not easy access to good quality food or, you know, grocery stores. Because in a lot of areas you're within 5 minutes of a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times in those areas you only see Food Lion out there. So it's very limited as far as food options. So they're trying to kind of revitalize that area and give them, you know, more options. So that's how that section came about. And Ronaldo's happens to be in there. Beacon to Go, which is the vegan spot. The Wing Place and 210 Tacos is over there. So, yeah, they're all in the little strip mall. So that's kind of how that whole thing came about. And that is the initiative behind it, is to try to start limiting the food deserts and giving people, you know, more options that aren't just, you know, South End or Uptown.
So that was by design?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that, but when I walked in there, I said, oh, shit, they got four other spots. I said, why nobody else hasn't thought about that? Because I think over in that area, like you said, it is a food desert. I think when you go a little bit further down, there was two other spots. Hell, you don't even know that is a restaurant. Because you don't say nothing out there on the doors right on the corner,
mm-hmm.
In a little smaller strip mall. But like I said, it'd be hood,
yeah,
like so you wouldn't even know. And I think further down, I think it's a Jamaican spot.
Okay,
a Jamaican spot on the left hand side. I think it's like painted red.
Right, right.
It's over there. But I know that was pretty popular. I haven't heard much about them as of late. But I do personally agree with you because, yeah, man, y'all listening, man, y'all might want to put your money together and do that because I think that helps out a lot, you know, giving people a variety, you know, and I think it's also good competition, but not in a bad way.
Yeah, because a lot of times if you're out with friends, you can just go to that area. Everybody can eat between tacos.
Somebody can find something they want.
Everybody can find something. So yeah, that it's a really good option. A lot of people, excuse me, a lot of people now have also been going to the ghost kitchen concept. So
Harsh fried chicken.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. So that type of deal. Or like City Kitch, which is right over on the west side, not too far from Uptown.
Right around the corner
from where we're recording this. And it's a really great concept because in there, there's different, it's technically a commercial kitchen, but they allow the chefs to sell stuff out of there too. So it gives the people opportunity to rent out the space. You can do your cooking there. You can also have people come pick up food. So a lot of restaurants in there, there's Meals by Mariah. She does like the birria tacos. So you can go there, pick up your birria tacos, take them home and eat them. And they also have a few tables in there if you want to eat in there. There's Craven Caribbean, which is one of my favorite Jamaican restaurants in there. There's a Best of Both Souls vegan food in there. There's a Mad Dash. And all of these places I'm naming are black owned. And they're inside of there. there's from Philly to Charlotte. If people want Philly cheesesteaks. There's a brand new New Orleans style place. Haven't been there yet, but I'm hoping this is good as well. So there's quite a few black owned restaurants that are within there, and it gives them the opportunity, you know, kind of that in between space where you don't have your brick and mortar yet, but you also have a space that people can go consistently and order your food. They know they can go there, put in an order, get their food, and they're good.
I think Charlotte still to me doesn't have an identity yet. And I think one of the things that I feel Charlotte can have, which is more so of a melted pot of food, because you got some of everything here. You know, when you go to New Orleans or Chicago or, you know, I say Atlanta, you know, you kind of know what you're going there to eat. You know, if you're going to New Orleans, you know you're going for the seafood and the Cajun and those things like that. When you're going to Chicago, you're going for the pizza.
Right.
Brooklyn could be the same way, but I would say New York. But Chicago is about, you know, it's about the pizza. You know that's what you want to, you know, you know that's what you want to get. You know, if you're going to Memphis, you know you're going there for the barbecue. I think with Charlotte is still trying to find their niche. And I think their niche can be a melting pot of food. You know what I'm saying? I think one thing I wish they would do better at is when they're doing these Taste of Charlottes, is stop having the same people out there. Because my thing is, you have so many restaurants that get built. Find a way, like, they need to do their research as well. I don't think they do a great job at doing that, because if I keep seeing the same people out there, that's just not no fun to me. You know, I don't want to keep seeing the same restaurant because I know they're going to be out there. I don't want to see a restaurant that I know for a fact that I could just go right down the street and go to. No, I want to see those places like a Chef Ronaldo's or the people you talk about in City Kitchen, things like that. I think it goes both ways. I think sometimes maybe they make it hard for them to get in because other people's already getting those spots. They may lock those spots in from time to time. Maybe y'all need to start auditioning people. Like, go in there and just say, all right, look, we just not going with this no more. We're going to put you up against, we're going to put you up against somebody, whoever made the best pop-up, how you want to look at when.
Right.
That's my opinion. But
yeah, I would agree with that. And I have that conversation pretty often because Charlotte right now doesn't have a food identity at all, really. So there's nothing that if I'm visiting Charlotte before I leave, I have to try this.
Right.
Most cities, you know, at least have, you know, some type of dish or at least some, you know, specific restaurant.
You know, you come to Charlotte, you know you won't have a problem eating. That is one thing we can't say. Like, if you come to Charlotte, you can't complain about it. Ain't nowhere to eat.
Right.
Question is, you just don't know what you want.
Exactly. So yeah, if I don't know how that would come about, but yeah, if there was like a Charlotte dish that a couple of restaurants came up with, they put their minds together. All right, we're all going to make a version of this. And then everybody can start trying them, and then everybody will start debating, oh, this one's better than this one, this one's better than this one. And then that kind of boosts that, because then other people, their friends are going to want to try, well, I like this one better. So then it kind of boosts that whole food identity, and, you know, people want to feel included and want their opinion heard. So.
We know how that goes.
Right. So it could definitely help. But you would think that Charlotte's food identity would be either soul food or barbecue. Soul food because technically in the South, or barbecue because it's the Carolinas. But neither one of those really have taken off here. So
not like that. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like no different from, you know, I kind of compare it to music. You know, North Carolina. It is the South, but it's not like the deep, deep right. South. You know, so we get an influx of everybody. We get the South, we get the Southerners, you know, like the deep Southern.
Right.
And then we get the Northerners. So, and they all come here and you just get some of, and you get some of everything. You know, you get a Bodega Deli.
Right.
You know, you get things like that, you know. So, I totally agree. I just think they need to figure it out. Before I go, we didn't get a chance to touch on it. And you kind of, yeah, you did mention Eat Black Charlotte. So, how did that come about? I know it's just not you. I know it's a collective of a group of you.
Yeah.
A group of you that doing. So how do y'all come up with that concept?
Yeah. So, interesting. That concept came around the time with the whole George Floyd Black Squares trend that was going on. And, you know, a lot of us have been doing this at that point for a while. So we're like, we've been supporting and, you know, pushing these black restaurants for, you know, years now.
Mm-hmm.
And then it we saw it kind of becoming just a trendy thing for everybody else to say. And we knew what was going to happen was they were going to use it to, you know, make themselves looking good. And we didn't want it to just die and that momentum to just mm-hmm. be a trend and then everybody just goes back to doing what they were doing before, which is going to their same coffee shops and restaurants in South End and Uptown. So what we did was we were like, okay, let's create an actual page while, you know, everybody's focused on supporting Black-owned. Or actually, we didn't even start the page first. We started a hashtag called Eat Black Charlotte and just encouraged people to use Eat Black Charlotte so that they would actually be going to places and not just posting the black square and not just trying to, you know, be trendy. They were actually supporting the places. So we started the hashtag. A lot of people started using the hashtag, and then we're like, okay, let's actually start a page, and then we can start, you know, sharing black restaurants as well. So a group of us, you know, kind of divvied up our roles in the kind of page and started the page, started, you know, resharing the page, started growing. And then after that, we're like, okay, people seem to, you know, really like this. So what do we think about doing a restaurant week and, you know, kind of a festival? And you're like, okay, let's do it. So started planning that. And then this was in the middle of the pandemic. So, you know, trying to navigate at the time, North Carolina was still shut down. I think when we started planning it, we could only have like 25 people for an outside event or something. So we're like, let's push it out to June in the hopes that by then, you know, everything is open. And, you know, thankfully, when it was time for the actual restaurant week and the festival and stuff to occur, the governor had lifted the restrictions like 2 weeks before that. So it was wide open. So we planned that out, had a phenomenal turnout. We had about 35 restaurants that signed up for the Eat Black Charlotte Week. And all of them, well, the majority of them were on TV. Like I said, we had the workshops for them to, you know, actually learn stuff. Of course, they saw a huge, huge business boom. Most of them were selling out each day. And then at the end of the week, we did a kind of a food truck festival and like end of Eat Black Charlotte Week celebration. And that was a lot of fun. You know, the mayor came out. We had 6 or 7 food trucks out there and everybody just had a good time. There was a DJ. You know, we had from babies out there all the way to, you know, people that were like in their 80s. Everybody out there just having a good time celebrating blackness. Like it was fun, and it was right before the week before Juneteenth. So yeah, it was just a great, great time. So we'll be continuing that. It'll be at least a yearly thing we do. So so yeah, but yeah, that was kind of the story behind Eat Black Charlotte. And you know, there's a team of us that are, we're continuing and we still meet. So it's now we're getting ready to start prepping for next year. So be even bigger and better. So yeah, y'all stay.
I salute that. I, where was I at? I couldn't make that one either. I was mad as hell too. I had to record.
Oh yeah.
That's what it was. I had a couple of lined up and I said, damn, I had to do it at this time. So I wasn't able to make it, but shout out to the crew doing that. I did see Wilmo was hosting. Yeah, Wilma, he gets around. but he's a staple in Charlotte. So, you know, that was a great idea to have him out there. So I just wanted to touch bases on that because I know you had mentioned it, and I had that on my list, and I said, let's go ahead and try to circle back around with that. But, hey, man, like I said, I just wanted to get you in here, man, just, you know, have a part two with you. You know, let the good people in Charlotte know exactly what you had going on now versus where you were before. And, you know, that's pretty much it, man. Thank you again for sitting down with me, man. We're going to do this again probably another year.
Yeah.
To talk about where you at again. You know, talk about where you at again, man. Hopefully we both be in different spaces.
For yeah, I will always be down to come on here. Like I told you the first time, I think you were my very first podcast I ever
did. You probably done jumped on a whole bunch of podcasts.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, it's been
that's how it
been
works. Several. That's yeah. how that's how it works, man.
Yeah. So you're the
y'all gotta give me y'all my credit, man, because I'll talk to people. And then right behind it, other people, I'm just saying, there's no hate here. I mean, we all, you know, it's all about just getting a different perspective, you know, for different conversations, man. So I do make sure to check that out. But I do see that a lot.
Right, yeah. So I definitely will give you your props. You're definitely the first one to reach out and get me on the pod. So I appreciate that. So whenever you want me on, I'm here.
Hey, man, appreciate it, man. Let everybody know where they can find you at, man.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, again, I am Corey. I am Daily Special COT on Instagram, Black Guys Cook on TikTok, if that's your thing, and YouTube. If you like cooking videos and recipes, I will be dropping more and more. You know, we're getting into the holidays now, so everybody will. We don't want you messing up the mac and cheese and getting
Please
canceled.
Please don't.
So.
Man.
So, yeah, check out the page. And then Eat Black Charlotte, of course. Follow Eat Black Charlotte on Instagram. There will be another Eat Black Charlotte week where you can support all the Black-owned restaurants. And you should do that anyway. Correct. But the week is a specific celebration in focusing Charlotte as a whole on our restaurants. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's what's up, man. Again, for the last time, appreciate you. Appreciate you coming out. Make sure y'all check out the other episode that I did with him. I did it back in July. You can find it on Spotify as well. I have all my episodes now on Spotify. So there is a different avenue for you to check out along with Apple Podcasts. But Spotify is free. I know a lot of people don't have Apple, so you can go to that. Please check that out because he kind of gives an origin story of how he got to Charlotte. And this I wanted to make sure that we talked about where he's at, you know, where he's at now. So you kind of listen to both of them and check out the huge difference from that conversation to this conversation. So please make sure you check that out. I am E-Dub. You can find me on my Instagram at whogotnext_CLT. And if you have any questions, any comments, feedback, good, bad, different, ugly, doesn't matter. Hit me up. You can hit me on my email at whogotnextclt@gmail.com. And as I always state, if you out there doing some dope stuff, some dope shit, trust me, I'm going to find you. Believe me, I am going to find you. And when I find you, we're going to talk about what you got going on next. All right? Peace.